All right. Thank you, folks. Appreciate Sister Erica doing that song for us. Done a good job on it. Kind of got that Israeli sound to it. Did you notice that?
Yes.
I remember first time I went to Israel was in the middle 70s, 5, 6, little Scotty Drake, myself, and some others. Our party got over there, and after all the hassle and getting through the airport and everything, and finally getting out of New York, heading for Tel Aviv, and got settled down on the airplane, and I thought, I'm going to get a nap here around midnight. We all thought that. And then something happened. We crossed the timeline, and the sunshine started coming in the window. And when it did, the stewardess and the Scotty, you remember this? They began the stewardess and some of the men on the plane and all the staff on the plane, big plane, of course, began to go down the aisle singing. And it was a blessing. They were singing in that tone of the Jewish tone. And it was first time I'd actually heard it. Then after we were over there some, we began to hear it. And what they call it, the kibbutz, Scotty? Yeah. We had a lot to learn, didn't we, on that first trip? But anyway, that was a blessing. And Easter Sunday, the world calls it. We call it Resurrection Sunday, amen. And it's a victory thing. Today, I hope you remember that. As we get in the book of Revelation, we have a book of Revelation is the revealing of Christ. And as you start out in chapter 1 and 2, you find out he's being revealed not as the suffering lamb, but as the coming king with eyes like a flame of fire. And it says over there in chapter 1 that he was dead, but he's alive. Amen. And the world looks at Christianity and the church as being defeated, but we're winners. And our champion lives, our Savior lives. And He's given us the book of Revelation, which takes us into the future of now. We've been in it a good while, of course, and I missed some and have to come back and review. Remember where we're at now as we get into the last of chapter 21. And we're really moving into eternity in the material covered here. That means that we've already moved from Revelation 1:8, where Jesus comes in glory and every eye is going to see him. Then we kind of go back into the church history, the letters to the seven churches, the last one being the lukewarm church, the Laodicea church, the one that's got Jesus kind of blocked outside. We see all that today. I am amazed today the liberalism that's moved into what used to be, even in some cases, good churches. But We're living right about there. All we're waiting on, some of you folks got some ailments. I got some ailments. My wife's got some ailments. I told somebody this morning, we're just in the waiting room. That's where we're at. And when the trumpet sounds, brother, we're going to see more than an earthly doctor, aren't we? We're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ and caught up to be with him. But we're not there. We're just waiting on the trumpet to sound. I was in the preaching conference this week up in Bermondsey. By the way, let me tell you, the trip was good from Chicago to Orlando. The plane just had a smooth ride, 2.5 hours from Chicago. Now, that's a miracle. But what isn't a miracle is from Orlando home was another 2.5 hours. Now, I'm not kidding you. I timed it. I mean, this is ridiculous what we have come to in Florida, amen? I had the opportunity to send the governor a message here several months back through a person that was meeting with him right away. And I said, tell the governor, we do welcome all the folks coming to Florida if they'll just leave that garbage behind. I'm talking about their liberalism. I'm talking about the junk. Junk like we've seen Disney World taking a stand to try to indoctrinate our kids to be homosexual and worse, if it could be. I mean, that garbage, that's what they're leaving. They need to leave it. Otherwise, stay with it. Amen? So when it comes to Florida, vote with the Floridians or some transplants from Georgia like me. Amen? But we don't lose what we have, bless God. And I have heard from some good officials that that's their feelings too. Anyway, you pray about it and speak up when you get a chance. Speak up against all this garbage. And boy, it is out there. It is really big. But Book of Revelation, we go then from the time of the trumpet calling the church saved up, probably Revelation 4, chapter 1. We see John around the throne in chapter 5. We see the seven seal book begin to be opened in chapter 6. And we find that a lot of folks are asking today, are the four horsemen riding? No, not really, but close, because that first horse is going to be the Antichrist, the fake Christ. On that first white horse, I have Revelation 6. Following him, of course, is going to be war. And always following war is famine. And following famine is death. And so you got the four horsemen. The world calls them the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Movies been made about them, books written about it, but that's yet future. But I do believe we're close, folks. I really do. And then we move on through the tribulation period. We know it's 7 years long, according to the prediction of Daniel's 70th week. And we know that the Antichrist will set up his kingdom, and he'll probably get voted in anymore. Our Constitution is so ignored, they set ballot boxes on the curb like trash cans, and that's about what they pick up in them. And anyway, somebody says the election's going to pull us out. I hope so, but I got my doubts. I hope we have a fair election. I hope the common people can be heard, but I'm not so sure that will be able to happen. But anyway, no matter what the people down here vote, the Lord Jesus has already voted for us. He's already got his program. I know what his platform is, don't you? And I'm all for it. And he's going to have it. Psalms 2 says, why the heathen rage? They're going to rage against Jesus when he comes. You read the end of chapter 6 of Revelation, you find that the rich men, the powerful men, all, when they see the scroll open in heaven and he's about to return, they're going to cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them. You know why they are? Because they don't want to face him in their sin. When I was a kid and I was a bad boy that day, I had to look across the table and see Daddy at night, didn't you? Well, it's going to be a little worse when they look up to see the face of God. They're going to cry for the mountains to fall on them and hide them. Anyway, we'll move through that seven-year tribulation period, and we've studied that right on down till we got to chapter 20 and the great white throne judgment. That's to be separate in our understanding from the 2 Corinthians 5 at the judgment seat of Christ. And we find that whosoever was not written in the Lamb's book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That is a terrible end for the unbelieving crowd that tries to face God in their sins. And we've moved into chapter 21. We've seen the new heaven and the new earth coming down out of heaven. Bible says in chapter 21, verse 2, down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Then we drop on down to about verse 8 and 9, and we find out down here in verse 9 that the bride that this coming down is the bride, the Lamb's wife, and we differentiated between the Lamb's wife, the church, and Israel as the wife of Jehovah. As you read about it in the Old Testament, we mentioned the book of Hosea, where God gives the analogy of the unfaithful wife to Hosea as Israel being the unfaithful wife to him. We moved on into a description of the city here in chapter 21 and all the names of all the jewels, all the precious stones that we can't even name, but the description of it. They do say most of these stones we can see in the Smithsonian Institute, and many believe these same stones were the ones that was on the breastplate of the high priest. Probably so. But basically, what men rob banks and kill each other over down here, gold and precious stones and diamonds, we're going to walk on them up there. They're going to pave the street with the gold that men steal from each other down down here. What a time it's going to be. It was all described, and then the gates of pearl, we talked about them last week. And then we find the city has no need of the sun or moon because the Lord is the light. Now, we went back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and found out that God had light before he ever made the sun and the moon. And so God is the light. And he chooses this time to not have a sun and a moon. He don't need it. He's the light. We read that here in the verse 23 of chapter 21. I'll jump in and get started here. It says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Now, we read the word glory quite a bit in the Bible, and we need to understand its brightness, its light. I don't know for sure. There's a lot of things that are supposition, a lot of things we think we see the scripture hinting at. As a lot of folks have asked me the question, I was at a funeral not long ago, somebody said, "Well, how can you prove God?" I said, "Open your eyes and look around. All this didn't happen by accident." And I also go a little bit further and say, somebody said, "Well, Adam and Eve were unclothed after the sin. They found themselves naked. You mean they had clothes before?" No, they had a different kind of clothes. They were clothed in the glory of God. And they lost that in the fall. They lost that. Sometimes it's called Shekinah glory of God, and that's a word that might be a little bit debatable there. But in their brightness. Now, every time you have a heavenly being show up in the Bible, they show up in brightness and in light and shining. Only in Matthew 17, when on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus showed up with Moses and Elijah there, he was transfigured. They were in brightness. They were in shining garments. Even the men that stood by when Jesus ascended back up to heaven in Acts chapter 1, they were in white apparel, shining, the angels showing up. I don't understand all of that except Adam and Eve lost that clothing in the fall, and God had to kill the animals, a type of the blood that would be shed for their redemption, and clothe them even in the animal skins. And today, you can put some stock in this, maybe not too much. But in the Bible, and I've had some people tell me stories about seeing a shining being show up. Well, if they're telling the truth, they got that right. That's the way he would look. I think about during World War II. I know a missionary. He's been dead a long time. He was a missionary to the Philippines. Many of you remember that the Japanese came in, MacArthur had to leave, and they took over the Philippines, and it was an awful time of cruelty and hurt, and they took over. This missionary was a missionary in the Philippines at that time, and the cruelty was terrible. They come into the hospitals and things like you hear about it. Almost all wars has that sort of stuff going on. Don't excuse it, it's still wrong, but this missionary told me this story personally. He said they commandeered our house. We were prisoners in our own house. He said anytime they wanted to, without knocking, they walked in. If they saw anything on a table or a gadget or anything they wanted, they took it. And he said we were basically hardly had the necessities to live. He said our water that we had, the only water we could get was to go down to a little pond and dip the water out in the bucket and bring it back. He said, I learned the best time to go to the pond was generally around noon because the Japanese soldiers went there also, and quite often I didn't want to bump into them. And he said, I took my buckets to get some water one day. And he said, it was kind of a deeper hole and deeper bank getting down to the water. And he said, I had more than one bucket, and I was being quiet as I could, and I was walking down to the water hole, and he said, I slipped and fell a few feet and banged the buckets around, and he said, these Japanese soldiers come out of the bushes, I'll call it, the trees and so on, and come out with their guns on me. And he said, I thought I was really in bad trouble. And he said, I picked up my buckets, and he said, all of a sudden, they started talking. I couldn't understand them. They were talking in fear, and they were backing up, and they were looking at each other in great fear, and they kept on backing up. He said, I didn't understand it. So he said, I got my water, and I went home. Said it wasn't long before here come a platoon of Japanese soldiers with their captain, and they charged in and said, where are they at? Where are you keeping them? Where are you hiding them? The man that could speak some English was saying, where are those soldiers? And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. What had scared his men off and what they were looking for, and they kept describing them as the ones in the shiny uniforms. God had sent that missionary some supernatural help. He didn't see them, but the enemy saw them and scared them off. And that story goes on and on so many times in so many different situations. It happened in there's a lot of stories coming out of the 1967 Six-Day War in Israel. Stories like that. Yes, God clothes in his glory. And it speaks about Jesus, of course, being glorified. And so it's going to be something we can't hardly understand. I'll sure be glad of it. I'm tired of keeping up my old suits, aren't you? Amen. When you travel, you know what happens to them? They get all wrinkled. And I'm the world's worst with a pressing iron. It'll look worse when I try it than it did before I messed with it. Amen. You ever been there, man? Something different. It's like a can of goods at home. I know, well, don't taste near as good as if my wife opened that can. Right? All right, I got off on that. Let's come on back here to some of the last verses of chapter 21. Talking about the city having no need of the sun or the moon. And then it says this in verse 24, And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Now that tells us that some nations are saved, some are not going to be saved. And they walk in the light of it. Now we find out when it came down from heaven, does it touch the earth or not? That is a little bit debatable. It's the four square city. Different mathematicians measure it different ways. Some say 1,200, some say 1,500 square. I don't know. One man that's pretty smart in the Bible interpretation kind of thinks it's going to be like an inverted pyramid. He says when it comes down from God, it'll be like a diamond with a point on it, and the point comes down near touching the earth, maybe touching the earth, and it's going to cast its light. We mentioned before, it could be what's called a satellite city sometime, and we kind of understand that language. But here's what we do have, and we can take what we have and understand. You know, we can all read the Bible and say, I know what it says, but then we want to debate what it means, right? That's where our weakness comes from. So it says, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So apparently those nations that are saved are going to be able to come in. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. My, my, my. When we get sick, don't we want to see the daylight? I don't know why we think that's going to help. Sometimes it seems to. Bad things are done during the night. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And nighttime, the crime increases and all of that business. One fellow said his parents was in the iron and steel business. His mother ironed all day and his daddy stole all night. And I'm afraid that is depicting too much of what's going on in our cities made today. But says no night there. Then here's the big one. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination. There's a big crew today I'd sure leave out, wouldn't it? Or maketh a lie. That sure take care of Washington, D.C. right there, wouldn't it? but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So there's a separation here. You know, I've said this so many times, as you go through the Bible, you find God is a separator. The cry of people today is, let's all get together. You've lived long enough to know that the most danger always comes from a crowd getting together. What a guy will not do to you individually, he'll get with his bad buddies and do to you. Somebody says, you don't fear one dog, but a pack of dogs. And there's a whole lot of truth to that. We look around and see that's the way it works. We've had the burning of the cities. Of course, that was just mostly peaceable. If you listen to the liberal news, what a joke. Saying that while the buildings were burning behind them. And police cars being demolished and all that. But it's mostly peaceable if you hear CNN and some of that other liberal bunch talking about it. But the sad truth is that there's a time coming here when God's going to say, you can't come in. Boy, you can't come in. Abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, that's a big, big thing today. Big news today is not what the stock market's doing. It's not even the war. The big news today is, how are you with God? What's your relationship with Him? That's the thing that's going to count, and the only thing that's going to count one day. Now, it's talking about this city. No sin. Now, sometimes it's soul winners, and this is a truth and a principle. We tell somebody, no sin in heaven. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And while that is true, we find that God here, as a separator, has got a walled city. Now, President Trump got in trouble wanting to build a wall, but look what's happening without it. What a mess we have got going on now. And God is a wall builder. You know, all you got to do today to come under attack is grab something and try to keep it separate from the world. It is amazing if they're just the homosexual movement today. Not only do they want you to say it's all right for them, they want you to say it's all right for you. They want to take your kids and brainwash them. You understand the motive. Homosexuals, I don't care what the news says, homosexuals do not reproduce. Amen. They cannot have babies. Men do not have babies. I don't care what kind of lie you've been told or how many surgeries they're going to perform and fake it. It does not happen. God's plan, He created a male and female. It's still true. Now, you heard the news today, and they'll try to tell you something different. So if they can't have their own, they got to steal yours. And that's what's going on after the babies and after the kids today. Our governor under attack from the liberals and Disney. I'm so proud of him for standing up. I am very proud of him for standing up. And of course, he's got a formidable enemy. All that money. But can you imagine the leadership of that company that would actually go to war to try to have the right to teach your kindergartners? First, second, third graders to be transsexuals. I mean, you talk about, and by the way, they don't teach them the right stuff anyhow, reading, writing, and arithmetic, but to teach that garbage at that age. Now, of course, we have preached this stuff was coming, but who in the world would have ever thought it would have been so plain and so obvious and for a big corporation like Disney to come out on that side. Press secretary of Joe Biden was weeping over the bill. Did you see that? Anybody see that? They were asking, and she started crying about these kids because the governor was passing this bill. Something is sick in this nation, isn't it? But anyway, when God's heaven on earth comes, as it were, when this city comes down, it is going to have gates and sin is not going to be able to enter in. Now, we talked to you, I think, about it, but over in Matthew chapter 25, we find when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom, the millennial reign, that all the nations are going to come before him. And if you want to flip over there, go back to it, because this is something that's not preached on all that much. But in Matthew 25, Start in verse 31, Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Now this is when he's coming back to earth to set up his kingdom. Not coming back to be crucified or die on a cross, but coming back in his glory. And all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. This is going to be a throne on earth. The kingdom age, referred to as the throne of David. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Well, somebody says, is America in the Bible? Well, here it is. All means all. And he's gathered all the nations. And he shall separate them, not try to get them together, separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. The old picture of the shepherd setting, the shepherd himself was the gate. He'd get in the in a rocks to where he could block the gate, and he could separate the goat and the sheep when they came by. The Lord is making that application right here. Sheep nations are his, the goat nations are not. He's separating them. Right now, if he was doing that, I think it'd be awful hard to find some sheep nations, wouldn't it? But by this time, though, it's in the millennial reign of Christ. And he's going to be judging them. Now, it's going to blow some minds about what he judges them on. Before him is gathered all nations. He'll separate one from another as a shepherd doth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. That's the millennial age. Prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now here comes the test. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And this is where a little prejudice shows up today. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, here's where the pinch comes, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. All right, the brethren. Whether you like it or not, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, who was a Jewish maiden. The body he took on him was a Jewish body. And he's talking about the nation of Israel here and the treatment of the other nations toward them. Now, don't get me wrong. The nation of Israel is wrong today in not receiving Jesus as the Messiah. And every one of them individually needs Christ as Savior, just like we do. But if you look on the history of the world, if you want to read it in advance, you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, and you start reading in about verse 32 and read several chapters. And I've had Jewish people that went through the Holocaust, as awful and awful as it was. I heard a preacher this week say when he was in Israel and they went into the Holocaust Museum, how he just wept. I understand that. I've been there. It is hard to look at those real pictures of what Hitler and the Nazis did to the Jewish race of people. They did it to others, but they did it big time to the Jews. I've been there. I've known some soldiers that fought in the battle. We had a school principal here, D.B. Fowler, that came in and saw the ovens while they were still smoking, where they were burning the Jews at the end of World War II. The Holocaust was real. You can argue about the numbers. Was it 6 million? Was it 10? Was it 3? I don't know. It was a lot. And it did happen. And those Jewish people during that time asked, where's God? But if you read the chapters in Deuteronomy, God told them this was going to happen. And he told them he was going to be hiding his face. They were going to ask where he was. Sad. But they had turned their back on God And this is what came. He did not come to their rescue during the Holocaust, but he is going to judge the nations. Now, some of them get their judgment here. Hitler got his judgment here, but he's still burning in hell now. And this is the test. Least of my brethren, his brethren in the flesh, was the Jewish nation. He said, you have done it unto me. So here we find what he says. Verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now there's an extra truth dropped in there on us. Hell was not prepared for man. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Men go there by choice. I've often said, people go to hell as aliens. They don't have to. God's plan was not to send you to hell. Man chooses. And chooses to go against God. And against God's plan. And against God's son. And so, in a sense, they choose it. Somebody says, well, loving God won't send anybody to hell. No, but man will send himself there. And he does all the time. But the nations are going to be judged as how they have treated the brethren. And this is telling you, when Christ comes back in his glory, sitting on his throne, the nations are going to be brought before him, and there is going to be an accountability. You can ask a million questions, I can't answer on that. But the big picture is there. It is going to happen just like the scripture says, because it has to be fulfilled. And I would say to you, this holy city coming down from God is going to have walls. It's going to have gates. No sin can enter into it. Nothing to defile it. I can't answer all the questions about it. How big it is, I talked to you last week about how big it is. It is an amazing thing. Fellows that are better on arithmetic than I am have said there would be 5 million apartments every cubic mile, 41 trillion rooms. Think about that. It would allow 10 rooms for every saved person during the church age. That's running the math on it. 10 rooms. But ladies, the good part is these rooms won't need you to clean them. Amen. They'll be. I've often said, thank God in heaven, no sheetrock. No 2x4s to frame up. All the building we've done around here in 50 years, thank God Jesus went and done it. It's ready when we get there. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place. He got it prepared. And we won't have to maintain it. Somebody said, well, Brother Parsons took over from you and he don't have to do no more building. I tell you what's worse than building, maintaining the buildings that are built. You know that, don't you? I thought about when we built the houses over in the village years ago. I made a real effort at the time to investigate and see how strong I could build them, how enduring they would be. Well, if you live over there, you know I failed. No, man can't do it, but Jesus can do it. Amen. And my, we can only surmise a little bit and guess a little bit at the scripture that tells us what he's prepared for us. Amen. Time's up here.